Thank you for downloading this podcast. We hope you enjoy the following message from Gateway Family Church.
Today we want to continue our series called Regular Heroes. And I don't know, Liz, if I'm real quiet. I don't know if anybody out there can hear me or not. I feel very quiet. We're going to continue our series called Regular Heroes today. And basically what we're doing is we are going through this process of people in the Bible that from the outside look very plain and ordinary, just like most of us, but God used them in a super way. And so the thing is, we want to be able to notice how God wants to use each and every one of us. Sometimes what we think is we look at these people in the Bible or we look at these people in our life and we think, well, of course God uses them. They've got all these skills. They've got all these abilities. I know we were just talking about Ryan and this in the Ryan show, but I want to say this about Ryan. One of the things I loved about him is he's got this ability to network like nobody's business. We would go to these conferences together, and I'm really shy person. Like, y'all don't think that because I'm on stage, but I'm really a shy person. And so we go to these conferences together, and I'm just kind of hanging out with the staff and the crew, and we're like, where'd Ryan go? And I'm like, I don't know where Ryan is. And we look on Instagram, and Ryan's already posting pictures. He has found, like, the green room of the conference, and he's with the biggest name guy preacher there, getting his picture taken, doing selfies, you know, he's on his back. And this is just crazy, like, how Ryan just, he networks so well with these people. And I'm like, of course Ryan's going to do great things. He's got all the skills necessary to do great stuff. And so sometimes we look at people like that. We look at certain folks and we think, well, of course they're going to do great stuff. But I'm not them. I'm just ordinary. I'm just regular. I just work a job, right? And I don't have all this great number of skills. I mean, I'm just a whatever. And so we see that, and it's a struggle. So that's what this series is all about. It's trying to show you how God wants to use you. How many of you know who Superman is? Okay, how many of you know who Clark Kent is? Okay, so Superman and Clark Kent live two very different lives, although they're the same person. So when Superman needs to be super, right? He's got on the tights, he's got on the cape, he's got his hair fixed, he takes off his glasses, and he goes and he is super. But when Superman wants to be regular and work a 9-to-5 job, he puts on regular clothes. I don't know how he fits all his regular clothes over his tights and his red boots. I've never figured that one out. And I don't know where his cape goes, but somehow it's rolled up real tight in there. And then he puts on glasses, and all of a sudden, you don't know who he is. He becomes Clark Kent, right? Because everybody knows when you put on glasses, you become a totally different person. And so he puts on glasses, and he becomes Clark Kent, and he works a 9-to-5, just like the rest of us. He's just an ordinary dude, and he lives two very different lives. And the problem is we do the same thing with our spiritual walk. We often Clark Kent our Christianity. We Clark Kent our Christianity. Here's what that means. That means that on Sundays, we're super, but come Monday, we're just regular, ordinary people. And what it's called, some people use this term, I'm going to have to read it. I can't even see. I'm Clark Kenton right now. Compartmentalize. I said it like 30 times this morning, and all of a sudden I get on stage, I can't say it. Compartmentalize. We put God in a box. How about that? Is that better? We build these little walls, and we put God in this room, and we put work life in this room, and we put family life in this room, and we begin to wall off our life and separate everything out. And that's why you'll see some people, they show up at church on Sunday morning, and they are the most spiritual person. I mean, if you check out their Facebook, they are blowing it up with scriptures, and Pastor Gabriel said this, and the worship was like this, and everything, all scriptures. And then come Monday, it's work day, and all it is it's all about work and how terrible their boss is and how their person in the cubicle next to them stinks so bad and this guy has his shoes off and it's all this stuff about work and how awful their life is at work. And then come Friday, it's all pictures of party. And I mean, they're out doing God knows what with who knows what. And then all of a sudden Sunday, it's all spiritual and holy again. And they live all these different lives. They Clark Kent their life. They can be super. They can be normal. and they just keep changing all the time. And I think sometimes what we need to do is learn how to break down those walls and be the same person. Preachers are some of the worst. I don't know if you've ever had a preacher in your life that did this before, but they get on stage and they talk with a certain voice, and then they get off stage and they talk with a normal voice. If you ever had, and don't raise your hands, because I know some of y'all's former preachers. But they have two different voices, and maybe you've seen that before, and I always hated that. And so I always tried very hard to be as normal as I possibly can, sometimes to my detriment. You know, sometimes I wish I had a better preacher voice. Unfortunately, I will listen to the podcast sometimes because Jonathan is editing the podcast in the office next to me, and I'll hear it because he plays it too loud. And I'll hear myself talking, and I was like, please shut that off, you know. Just delete the whole thing. I can't stand to hear that guy's voice anymore. Like, and so I wish I had a preacher voice. But we begin to separate. We've got two different lives. I've heard of people sometimes that they go home and they're abusive, they're mean, they're angry all the time, but they go to work and everybody thinks they're the nicest person in the world, right? And people are like, I wish I had, there's spouses that say, I wish I had that guy or that girl that's at work. I wish I had them at home. Or I wish I had the person that's on stage at home. I wish I had the person in church at home. And so we Clark Kent our life. And I think we've got some excuses, and some of them are good and some of them are bad. I think sometimes we feel like God doesn't care about our regular life. And so God only cares about what we do on Sunday. He doesn't really care about the fact that we're just a plumber. He doesn't care about the fact that we're just a police officer. He doesn't care about the fact that we just work at Chick-fil-A. That's just a normal, everyday thing. God only cares about what we do on Sunday. Sometimes we think that. Sometimes we think we could get embarrassed. What if I allowed God into my work life? Oh my gosh, that would be so embarrassing, because what would God do? I can't take him anywhere. I have to just leave him at home or leave him at church because God is going to embarrass me. That's why Superman always has to Clark Kent, because he really is embarrassed about the blue tights, right? And he knows he can't show up at the Daily Bugle wearing blue tights with red underwear on the outside of his pants. Who does that? Only Superman. That's why he has a Clark Kent. Sometimes people just think, I'm just not special enough. I'm not a preacher. I'm not an evangelist. I'm not a missionary. I'm not one of these special people in life that is called to preach the word. So therefore, God doesn't care about my everyday life. He only cares about my Sunday life. And that's why today's hero is a man named Bezalel. How many of you know who Bezalel is? Not Beelzebub, okay? Totally different person in the Bible. Straight up the devil. This is Bezalel. Someone else. Only CJ knows who Bezalel is. That does not surprise me one bit. Bezalel is found in Exodus chapter 31. One of my favorite people in the Bible. And one of the reasons he's my favorite people, one of my favorite people, is because he is super normal guy. Just super normal guy. He is the definition of regular hero. Check out Exodus 31, verse 1. Then the Lord said to Moses, see, I have chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. In other words, God already knows his backstory. God said, I picked this cat out generations ago. I knew I needed a normal guy, and I've been watching every generation. I've been watching. And so I picked out Bezalel, verse 3, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God, with wisdom, with understanding, with knowledge, and with all kinds of skills. To make our, this is key. Now look, let me pause here. Go back to verse 3. I filled him with the Spirit of God. Now right here, we're thinking this guy's going to do something special for God. If he is full of the Holy Spirit, and he's got wisdom, understanding, knowledge, and all kinds of skills, he must be some kind of spiritual ninja. Like, this is a guy that God is going to use as a priest, as a prophet. He's going to make him a king. He's got to do something special with him. Look at verse 4. To make artistic designs for work in gold, silver, and bronze, to cut and set stones, to work with wood, and to engage all kinds of crafts. Hold up. I thought this guy's supposed to be special. I thought he's supposed to be a priest. I thought he's supposed to have, he's got the Holy Spirit on him with wisdom and knowledge and understanding to do what? to draw pictures, to cut out rocks and whittle little images out of wood. Like, why would God put so much investment into somebody that's not going to do anything spiritual? Let's keep going. Moreover, I've appointed Aholiab, son of this guy, of the tribe of Dan, to help him. And I've also given ability to all the skilled workers to make everything I've commanded you. Let me give you a little bit of backstory here. God is speaking to Moses, and God says, Moses, I want you to make a tabernacle. Now, a tabernacle in those days was basically a big old tent, and that is where God would meet with the people. And so it was the forerunner to the temple, right? The Jewish temple. It's the forerunner to that. And so it's a tabernacle because the early church was mobile. They were portable church, just like we were when we were at the PlayStation. We had to set up and tear down, and they had to set up and tear down. Every time they moved, they were a portable church. And so God said, let me help you design and build this portable church because you can't do it by yourself. And I'm going to put my spirit on the workers that are going to do this. And Bezalel is one of the guys I'm putting my spirit on, and I'm going to give him all this stuff. He wasn't a priest. He wasn't a prophet. He didn't perform a single miracle. But what did he do? He learned how to live like a Superman in a Clark Kent world. He lived in a Clark Kent world. His job was 9 to 5. I'm just in here making drawings. I'm just in here carving stuff. I'm in here working with metal. This is my 9 to 5. And all of a sudden, one day, God shows up in his 9 to 5 job and says, Bezalel, I'm calling you, I'm anointing you, I'm putting my spirit on you, I'm going to give you wisdom and knowledge and understanding, I'm going to do great things through you. And I'm sure Bezalel is sitting there going, Moses is over there, you know, Aaron is that way. Like, why are you talking to me? And God says, because I need somebody that I can use today. I want to pour my spirit out on somebody in their regular world, even though you're in a Clark Kent world, I want to make you Superman. Let me tell you something. God wants to use you more than just Sunday morning. God wants to do something in you on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday. God wants to use you every single day of the week. But you're sitting back thinking, how can God use me? Like, what can I do? Look at my job. Look at my job. And how can I work at a company that sells roofing supplies and still do something great for God? Like, what does that have to do with God's plan for my life, right? How can I work at an insurance company? How can I work for a travel agency? How can I do that? What if I'm a stay-at-home mom? Like what? How can God use me? He can only use me on Sundays. That's the spiritual day. We've got to get out of our brain this Clark Kent mentality that I keep switching back and forth and understand that God wants to use you wherever He has you planted. And He wants to anoint you to do great things for Him. I was talking to somebody this past week. I was substituting at a school and on my off day. And so I'm at the school and burning up. I mean, they had field day. Just FYI, if you ever get asked to be a substitute teacher, do not substitute on field day. And so I'm outside in the sun. I'm straight bald. Did not put on sunscreen. So I can feel like, it feels like blisters just pop. I mean, like my head is on fire, and it was awful. All that to say this, I was talking to some people, and they're asking me how Perry was doing. She had changed schools, and how's Perry doing at her new school? And I said, you know what? I said, it's kind of a struggle. And they said, really? Because she's got a really good school, and it's in a nice neighborhood, very, very wealthy neighborhood, and the parents are very involved. How can it be a struggle? I said, well, because whenever she was in this school, she had kids that didn't speak English. She had multiple kids that had special needs every year. She had kids that were Muslim that didn't understand English and didn't understand our culture. She always had stuff going on, and she felt like it was a ministry every day when she walked in. And I said, now she's at a school where all the kids speak English and where the parents are really involved and the kids are smart and everything's good and there's no special needs in her particular class. And I said, so now she's trying to figure out, God, why do you have me here? And I said, because we believe, I told the other teachers this, I said, we believe that God doesn't just make her a teacher so that she can make money. We believe that God has a ministry for her Monday through Friday. And so she's trying to figure out, God, what is the ministry that you have for me? What is the thing, the calling that you have for me in this place? What am I anointed to do here on a day-to-day basis? It's not just about Sunday. It's about every day. So how do we bring super into a Clark Kent world? I'm going to give you three things you can do. Number one, you can pray. I know that seems very obvious to say pray, but the first thing you need to do, I'm going to give you some things to pray about. Pray for yourself. Pray for yourself. I want you to look at the things that Bezalel had going for him. It said that he was filled with the Spirit of God. The first prayer I would pray if I were you every single morning when I wake up is, Holy Spirit, fill me today. I need your Spirit. We said last week that Mary did everything that she did because the Holy Spirit overshadowed her. We need to say, God, I need you today by your Spirit to overshadow me, to walk with me, to lead me, to guide me, and expect Him to do it. Yeah, but Pastor, you don't understand. I'm just a cashier. What does the Holy Spirit care about a cashier? He cares everything about a cashier. I could go through each one of your jobs today and start giving you reasons why God cares about your job, and I'll try not to because the sermon will go too long. But let me tell you about a cashier. A cashier talks to people every single day. That cashier meets and greets people that Jesus loves with all of his heart. A cashier meets people that are dying and going to hell without somebody telling them about Jesus. Holy Spirit, I need you to cover me today. I need you to fill me today. And I need you to fill me with, what did the Bible say? Wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. Now, on the surface, those sound like all the same thing. But let me just give you something quick that you might remember, and it might help you out. The word knowledge there is an understanding of what. It's not a question, it's a statement. What? It's knowing what. Knowing what needs to be done. Right? And sometimes we get ourselves in these situations where we just don't know what to do. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been in that situation where your boss comes in and says the numbers are bad, whatever that is, and say, what do we need to do? And you're sitting there going, I don't know what to do. You know, like, what? What do we do? What do we do to fix the numbers? I don't know what the problem is. I don't know what the issues are. And God says, I know everything. And if you'll allow my Spirit to speak to you, I will show you what. I will give you the what. We notice that Jesus did this one time whenever he's sitting down at a well. We talked about this a few weeks ago. He's sitting down at a well. A woman comes up and he tells her about her life. And he begins to give her what we call in Christianity a word of knowledge, which just means I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you a what that I'm not supposed to know. And he begins to tell her about all of her husbands. He tells her a what. I believe today that God wants to use you and He wants to give you the what at your job, in your family. Sometimes whenever you're parenting, and listen, being a parent is a full-time job. It is. I know my wife is out of town right now. Two of my kids are with their grandparents, and I've just got one kid with me right now. And even with one kid, I have to pray when I wake up in the morning. God, help me to know what to say to this boy, to help him in his life, and not to kill him before he goes to bed. I mean, this is a prayer I have to pray every day. God wants to give you the supernatural what. He wants to give you knowledge, things that you never learned in school. He can put it in you and on you. The other one is the understanding. Understanding is the why. Now, the word understanding also means to discern. In other words, it's this idea of I can cut through all the garbage and figure out exactly what's really going on the why behind the what. So he shows you the what. Here's the problem. But just having the problem doesn't help you, right? Because if I just have the problem, then that just gives me something to pray about, but it's still just a problem. I got to figure out, why is this problem happening? Whenever I work at a school, a lot of times I work with special needs kids. And whenever I'm working with special needs kids, oftentimes, they don't know how to tell you what the problem is. They're just freaking out, and they don't know what to do about it. And so that's where I have to pray, God, give me discernment today. Give me understanding today to be able to look past the issue and see what it is that's driving that issue, what is causing that issue. I said this before. There was a kid one time that I was working with, and he was freaking out. He was trying to stab us with pencils and trying to throw desk across the room, and it was the craziest thing I've ever seen in my life. And on top of all that, he was just a kindergartner. But he was strong as a little ox. I mean, it was crazy. The kid is just all one big muscle, and so I'm trying to wrap him up. And they teach you when you're working with special needs kids, they teach you how to restrain children without hurting them. And so I'm trying to do all the tactics that they taught me, but he's too little because the tactics they taught me were for high schoolers, and this kid's like this big. And so I'm trying to wrap this kid up, but his legs are loose, so he's kicking the other teacher, and his head is loose, so he's headbutting me, and I'm trying not to get my face broken, and I'm just holding him as tight as I can. And the whole time I'm praying, I'm saying, God, you got to help me figure this out here, because I can't keep fighting this kid all day. And I begin to pray. All of a sudden, something broke in that kid. And he quit kicking. He quit headbutting. And he just rolled over into my arms and just put his head in my chest and began to cry. And he did not let me let him go. He wanted to be held. And immediately the Spirit showed me the why. The what is he's freaking out. But the why is the kid is not loved at home. The kid came from a messed up house. And he never had anybody love on him. He didn't have anybody hugging him. He didn't have anybody holding him. And the only way he knew to get some attention and to get that touch is to just go crazy, because he knew somebody's going to have to grab him. And I just held that kid. And I just let him cry. And I just held on to him. God cares about your job. Now, you guys working at Chick-fil-A, you're probably not going to be holding anybody, okay? Just FYI. Don't get fired. God, Nathan, stop me. God cares about your job, and God wants to show you supernaturally the why about what's happening. He wants to show you the why. That's discernment. The other one is wisdom. Wisdom is how. How do I fix it? How do I go about solving this issue? What are the things I need to do? So your boss comes in, your boss says, we got a big problem. We got a big problem. I don't know what's happening, but we got this big problem, and sales are going down. What are we going to do? Nobody's coming in. What are we going to do? And you say, look, boss, let me pray for a second. Or let me think about this. Or maybe you say, I prayed this morning. Holy Spirit's walking with me right now. I got a word for you. Here's the problem. Boom, let's identify it. Secondly, here's why it's happening. And thirdly, here's what we can do. That's how God wants to use you in your job. I was thinking about this today. Some of you may or may not know Jeremy and Leah. They sit back here, and I don't mean to embarrass you, but that's what happens when you come to a small church and everybody can see you. And so Leah's a travel agent. And Leah's a travel agent. And I got to thinking today, I thought, as I was praying, I was preparing my sermon over the week, I was thinking about everybody's jobs that I know, you know, and I'm thinking about what you do, and I thought, how can this apply to, you know, this person? How can this apply to this person? And I got to thinking about travel agent. I thought, how can this apply to a travel agent? Like what can a travel agent take home? Because really, what is a travel agent doing? They're setting people up for vacation. So like, when people come in, they're not coming in like, oh, my life is so terrible. You know, I'm going on vacation. Can you book me a trip to Hawaii? You know, it's like, if your life is terrible, you're going to Hawaii. Like, I want to be as terrible as you. You know what I mean? Like, I've never been to Hawaii. But I got to think, I thought, you know what, there's some people that will probably come in because people are people, and God loves people, and people are jacked up. And so there's going to be people that come in, even to a travel agent, and they're going to come in, they're going to say, I need a trip to whatever. And it would give someone like you, Aaliyah, an opportunity to be able to speak to them and say, now tell me why you're going to this place. Oh, well, you don't understand, my husband died, and I just need some time off, I need to get away. My wife and I got divorced, and I just got to get away, I got to clear my head. Or maybe as they come in, they just straight up lie, and that's when the Holy Spirit begins to speak to her, and she begins to say, you know what? I feel like God's telling me that you need this vacation for this purpose. Let me help you. Let me help you find the right place. I know you said you want to go to Hawaii, but really what you need is you need a trip to the mountains. You need to get off by yourself. You know what I mean? Like, think about this for just a second. Look past your church world and look into the Clark Kent world of reality and see that God has a specific reason for you being exactly where you are. And His Spirit wants to anoint you to do something great. I got to hurry because I got a lot more notes and not a lot of time to do them. The second thing we need to pray for is pray for authorities. That's your boss, the guy you hate sometimes. You got to pray for him. 1 Timothy 2:1-2 says, I urge you then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all people, not just the people you like, all people, for kings, even presidents we did or did not vote for, you still got to pray for them, intercede for them, be thankful for them. But Pastor, you don't understand. We're about to go to World War VII. Like, we're skipping other world wars. We're going straight to seven. I still got to be thankful. Jesus had to feed 5,000 people. All he had was a couple of pieces of fish and some bread. He still had to be thankful. He said, God, this isn't enough, but I'm thankful for it. And what happened? God blessed it. So for kings and all those in authority, that's your boss. Why? That we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. I got to pray for my boss. I got to pray for those in authority over me. The third person you got to pray for is pray for your enemies. That's the person that's at your job that wants your job. That's the person that's always trying to get that step up over you. That's the person that's always trying to put you down so that they can rise up. I know nobody in this place has a person like that at your job, but theoretically you might somewhere. And here's what the Bible says in Matthew 5:43-44. You have heard it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. When we first started the church, there were some people that heard some rumors that were false and just decided to believe them. You know people like that? And not only did they decide to believe rumors that were false about our church and about me, but then they decided to spread them. And I started noticing people leaving the church. And I would say, what's going on? Why are you leaving the church? And they wouldn't tell me. And they wouldn't come to me. Don't you hate it when people do stuff like that and they don't even come to you and talk to you about it? I'm like, you big old sissy. Like, just come talk about it. They wouldn't talk about it. And then I heard what was happening. This person was spreading stuff. Well, then we had peace from all that for a while. And then the other day, someone called me and they said, I'm not coming to church anymore. And they wouldn't tell me why. And I started doing a little investigation. I found out that that same person is still attacking our church. So I'm getting ready to preach this morning. I go in my office, I close the door, I'm just praying. And as I'm praying, God said, you're going to talk about praying for your enemies. Why don't you pray for the people that left your church? I said, all right, I'll pray for those people because I love them, praying for them. And I prayed for them. He said, now I want you to pray for the people that told them the rumor that got them to leave the church. God, I pray that you would open up the ground and swallow them. So I prayed for them. Good things. And then God said, now pray for the people that started the rumor even before those people got it. Come on, God. God, I pray for those. And it's like God was showing me, sometimes whenever you pray for an enemy, the enemy's not just the person that you think is your enemy. Sometimes that enemy is backed up 3 or 4 generations of enemies, and you just got to keep praying for them and keep praying for them and keep praying for them. And then God says, why don't you start blessing them? What can you do to bless them? What can you do to bless that group? What can you do to bless these people? It's a hard thing to do, but it's the right thing to do. If you want God to be super in your Clark Kent world, you've got to learn to pray for your enemies. The last one is this. You've got to pray for your opportunities. Colossians 4:3 says, and pray for us too that God may open a door for our message, that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ. Listen, we need to pray and ask God for opportunities. God, give me an opportunity to talk to this person. Give me an opportunity to be a witness to this person. I told you that I substituted at this school. Well, what I didn't tell you was 2 years ago, I worked at the school full time and did the church. And then I just subbed ever since then. Well, when I worked at the school full time, there was this one person at the school, this man at the school, and he was kind of rude, kind of mean, kind of, you know, always stood off away. But I had to work in his classroom a lot. And so I just felt like God showed me, you need to be praying for that guy. Pray for that guy. Pray for opportunity to speak to him. So I just prayed and prayed and prayed. And I never got a real opportunity to talk to this guy that year that I worked there. The next year, I go back. I'm substituting here and there. So I don't get to talk to him very much, but I'm still praying. I'm still praying. I'm still praying. This year, they're almost done with the school year. I've subbed a little bit, not really worked with his class anymore. And we're standing out at field day. My head's baking. I'm fried. I'm tired. And you know what? This guy comes walking straight up to me and says, "Hey, man, you still doing your church?" I said, "Yeah, I am, actually." "Yeah, I don't go to church very much. I do sometimes." And I was like, "What in the world is happening right now?" And so I began to talk to this guy, and it's like, "Oh, my gosh, like, God, you are real. Like, you really do care about this." You know what I mean? Like, pray for opportunities. Sometimes the opportunity doesn't come the next day. Sometimes it comes the next month, or sometimes it comes 2 years down the road, but you just keep praying for opportunities. Praying for opportunities. The next thing we have to do if we want to bring God into our normal life is we need to set the example. And set the example in integrity and ethics is the first thing you set the example in. Colossians 3:23, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. Listen, whatever you do in life, you need to do it for God, not for man. You need to decide, wherever it is God has put me, He has put me here for His purpose, not for my purpose, not for their purpose, but for His purpose. So whatever I do, I'm doing it for God, period. If I'm, you know, making chicken, if I'm trying to sell something to somebody, unless you're some kind of drug dealer and you need to get saved today, don't do that for God. Whatever you do, do it for God. Here's the thing, I was listening to these guys, Mr. Green and Mr. Prattney used to work at this place, and when Green and Prattney worked at this place, they had to clean the bathrooms. And Green was watching Prattney, and Prattney would go clean the toilets, and when he cleaned the toilets, he would clean the bowl, clean the seat, he would clean the bowl, and then he would get down on his hands and knees and get behind the bowl, behind the toilet, and begin to clean everything back behind there. Green looked at him and said, "Prattney, what are you doing? Why are you cleaning behind the toilet? Nobody can see behind the toilet." He said, "God sees everything. And I don't do this job for anybody else but God. And so I'm going to clean everything that God sees." And I thought, man, whatever I do, I got to do it unto the Lord and not unto men. The other thing we got to set the example in is in our priorities. Matthew 6:24 says, "No one can serve two masters. Either you're going to hate one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You can't serve God and money." Why are you at your job? Are you at your job just to get a paycheck? Are you at your job because God has called you to that place for that moment? Doesn't mean you can't change jobs. It doesn't mean paychecks are wrong. You just got to know your priority. I tell people that go into the ministry all the time, I say, pay off every debt you can. Get as financially sound as you can. Get yourself the best budget you can, because the one thing you don't want to do is miss out on an opportunity because you got to have a certain amount of money. Make sure money is never the driving force. God must always be the driving force. And when God is the driving force, the Bible says that money or blessings or anything you need will come on its own. The other one is you need to set the example in unity. John 13:35, "By this everyone will know that you're my disciples if you love one another." One of the worst things that I've seen happen in workplace is when a Christian comes in and tells everybody they're a Christian, but then they're mean to other Christians. They talk down about that church down the road. You need to love people. And the Bible says, Jesus says, the only way people are going to really know you're my disciple, you can say whatever you want to say, you can talk the talk, but unless you love each other, no one's going to really believe you. They're going to know you're my disciple if you love one another. Here's the last thing, and this is where we're closing today. I want to be Superman in the Clark Kent world. How do I do it? I pray, I set the example, and then I need to give my skills to God. The Bible says that Bezalel was filled with the Spirit, wisdom, understanding, knowledge, but then also all kinds of skills. All kinds of skills. And he used those skills for God's purposes. Some of you may sit back today and you may think, I don't have that many skills. I personally don't have a lot of skills myself. I wish I did. I wish I had more skills. That's why we're having work day next door, because I can't do it by myself, because I don't have the skills. I would have it all ripped up terrible, and I would have electrocuted myself. John laughs because he knows it's true. Here's the thing. You've got a skill. It may be one skill, It may be one small thing. It may be a million things. But God wants to use it for His glory, and He's waiting on you to give it to Him. Because can I tell you something? When you give God your skill, when you give God your talent, when you give God your gift, He gives it back to you blessed. He gives it back to you blessed. God wants to bless your skills, and God wants to use your skills. He wants to bless your skills, and He wants to use your skills. Whatever it is that God's put inside of you, whatever talent it is that you have, God wants to anoint that thing and use it for His glory. Let me show you what the Bible says in Proverbs 16:3. Commit your work to the Lord, and your plans will be established. Pastor, I hate my job. Everybody there is so ungodly. They all cuss, and they spit out venom at me. They're mean, they're rude, they're arrogant. That's the best place for you to be. Commit your skills to the Lord, and watch God establish every plan, every purpose, every thought that you have. God will establish it if you'll learn to commit your skills to Him. Jesus said in Luke 4, and I said this earlier. Here's the thing. In Luke chapter 4, Jesus gets baptized. We said this earlier. Jesus gets baptized. When He gets baptized, He comes up out of the water. The Bible says the Spirit descended upon Him. So the Spirit's on Him, just like Bezalel. Then it says the Spirit led Him out into the wilderness where He was tempted for 40 days. Some of you feel like your job is the wilderness. And then the Bible says that He came back from the wilderness in power. But here's the thing. Even when He came back from the wilderness in power, the next passage of Scripture, the title caption says, Jesus rejected in His hometown. So here's what He says. In a place where He's going to be rejected, in a place where nobody cares about Him, here's what He says. He picks up the Bible, picks up the scroll of Isaiah, and He opens it up and He says, the Spirit of the Lord is on me. This is what happens when we commit everything to Him. Because He has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, and to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Why don't you stand up with me today? I don't know what your specific job is, but let me tell you what your calling is. Your calling today is to have the Spirit of the Lord on you. Why? So I can proclaim good news. So I can set people free. So I can give people sight. So I can proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, God wants to bless your skills and use you for His glory. There's a purpose behind it. And I believe that God wants to anoint you today to stop being Clark Kent and start being Superman in Clark Kent world. Won't you bow your heads today? Lord, I love You and I thank You for everybody in this room. I ask right now that You would speak to our hearts. I pray today that we would give You every skill and we would look for every opportunity to bless other people, to set people free, to speak Your word, to use the Spirit's knowledge, wisdom, and understanding for Your glory. God, I pray that lives would be changed. You've called us to make disciples in this world. You've called us to make a difference in this world. And You want to use us to do just that.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more info about Gateway Family, visit our website, gatewayfamily.cc.